Hallelujah. Come on, he's good. He's good. I said he's good tonight. God is good tonight. He's worthy of our praise. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Woo. Glory to God. He's so good. Father, we just come before you in the matchless and the mighty name of Jesus. There is nothing that's too difficult for you. There's nothing that's impossible with you. Lord, you said, Jesus, when you were walking this earth, you said that nothing's impossible to those that believe. And we just declare, Lord, and we affirm that we are believers in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He's good, isn't he? Do you have your Bibles tonight? I hope you have your Bibles. Come on. Hallelujah. I've just gotten in the habit. I was telling you that I've kind of gotten the habit of going back to, in my morning devotionals, getting back into, rather than just reading my phone, getting the Word, an actual book, Bible. And I think it makes a lot of difference for me. And I'm not criticizing or telling some people that they have to do that. Because I've taken my phone to conferences and used the Bible in it and then used the notes in it. And it's really amazing. But for me, there's just something about the pen and paper and being able to do all that, right? So, come on, God is so, so good. Last week, we began to talk about renewing your mind. And it's going to be a little bit different, but it'll kind of tie into that. When I say last week, the last Wednesday that I spoke, Janine was actually last week. Glory to God. But, you know, renewing our mind is the thing that we're required to do because Jesus has saved us, right? Our spirits are saved, but our mind not so much, right? And all you have to do is think about everything you thought about today, and I can prove to you that your mind is not saved, right? And so what we have to do, and really, if you think about it, it's just getting our mind thinking what he thinks. Getting our minds to the place where we're thinking what he thinks. Come on. You know, the Bible, there's a scripture that says, we have the mind of Christ. And you can interpret that a couple of different ways, but when I look at that, I say that I have access to the way he thinks. You know, come on. Renita and I all the time will go, well, what are you thinking? What are you thinking? I ain't thinking much, right? But what are you thinking? But it's like in your devotional or even throughout your life, you know, your life, it's like, Lord, what are you thinking? And we have a record of the way he thinks. And did you know that when you're around somebody enough, you can pretty well know what they're thinking, right? Before they don't have to say anything, and especially couples that have been together for a long time. It's like, I know what she's thinking a lot of times, and she doesn't have to say anything. And then there's those looks, right? You know, where I know what she's thinking, right? No. But go to Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5. And we're going to look at a couple of things tonight. And what I really want to get into in light of renewing your mind is taking that just a little bit different slant, is that we need to agree with God. Everybody say agree. Could you agree that we need to agree? Right? And we don't need to be, Lord, you and I, right? Well, we're not going to agree to disagree, God. Because I'm going to change my thinking to your thinking so that I'm in agreement with you. Because I want what you want. And you said I could have what you said I can have. But I want to be thinking what you're thinking. Glory to God. If you'll look with me in Mark chapter 5 and go to, we'll start out in verse 21. It says, now when Jesus had crossed over again by boat to the other side, a multitude gathered to him by the sea. And behold, a ruler of the synagogue came, Jairus by name, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet and begged him earnestly, "My little daughter lies at the point of death. Come, lay your hands on her that she may be healed and she will live." And it says that Jesus went with him. But I want to point out a few things here that just reading through that you might not think about. But this says that Jairus was a leader of a synagogue. That means that he had a position in the church. That means it's like, I'm the pastor. You know, I've got a reputation. I got up to this position in some way, but I have a reputation. But desperation makes reputation go in the toilet, right? My daughter is dying, and I'm going to go out and meet this fellow that in my synagogues and other places, we said, we don't like him very much because he's not saying exactly the same things that we're saying. He's not doing things, everything the way that we did them. But my desperation for my daughter makes me go to him. And this is really interesting to me. And I saw this really for the first time today. It says in verse 22, "And behold, one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet." This man who was in the synagogue and he was a leader of the synagogue worshiped Jesus. Worshiped Jesus. He fell at his feet in humility and in desperation. In other words, I need what you got. And so it doesn't matter my position anymore, and it doesn't matter what other people think of me. Nothing matters to me but that you're my answer. Right? And for us to get into agreement, sometimes we got to strip everything out of the way and say, God's our answer. Right? And so if I'm thinking something by tradition, I don't care about that anymore. I need you. And so I'm going to come and worship at you. And like we've been talking about worship on Sunday morning, I'm going to come to the place where I'm bowing my knee to you so that everything that you say, I'm in agreement with. And if I don't think it's fair, that doesn't matter anymore. If I think that my position in life is such that I shouldn't have to come and beg you, but I will come and put my knee on the ground and say, Lord, your will be done and not mine. See, I think sometimes, and we know this from different people that I've worked with, that some people just aren't desperate enough to do the things that they need to do to get the results that they want, right? And all of us can fit into that category really easily, right? Lord, I'd like to be better. Lord, I'd like to have more peace. Lord, I'd like to have this, or I'd like to be this way, or I would like to love people more. Well, that's how much do you want it? I mean, how desperate are you? Are you desperate enough to wreck your reputation and come to Jesus and say, you got the answer, and I'll do whatever you want me to do? You see, I think sometimes God has more for us than we're willing to receive because we're not desperate enough to get on our face before him and say, Lord, it's not my will, but it's your will that I want. Right? I was confronted today with somebody on YouTube that I was listening to, and he was talking about the Church of America, and he was talking about the desperation for the lost, right? In other words, I'd rather have, and he said something, he was really kind of bold and everything, but he said, where are we crying out for the lost? Where are we really looking at people from the standpoint I don't want to impose my will on you, but I definitely want to be at a place where I want to be the one, if possible, to give you an opportunity to meet Jesus and to change your life, right? And because I know from what I've read in the Word of God that if you don't make Jesus the Lord of your life, then you're going to spend eternity away from God and in hell. But do we really believe that? Right? And when I say that, I'm speaking to me more than you, but it's like even in the preaching and in everything, it's like, Lord, what's the most important message that we have? And that's the gospel. That's the gospel. Jesus came to pay your price. But watch this. If you want what Jesus has for you, you have to come to him on your knees. And what I mean, on your knees and your heart, you have to surrender yourself completely and totally to him. And Lord, it doesn't matter what I think. It doesn't matter what others think. And Jairus got to the place where he said, my daughter is going to die unless I go to him and present myself in such a way that he'll come. And he did, right? And here's the awesome part, I think, and we're going to read this a little bit in the next story, but it's like somewhere, somehow, he had to have heard of Jesus. So the word was out there, right? So he had to come submit to the one that the word was about. And for us, from a practical standpoint tonight, it's for us, it's like, Lord, I need to read your word from a different perspective. I need to come to your word and read it from the perspective is that you're right. And I am already bending my knee to your word. And whatever you say in your word, that's what I'm going to submit to. Right? Because we're really not agreeing with God if we're making excuses for things that we know God doesn't like. Right? If we're getting angry, and when I'm talking about anger, I mean bursts and outrages, and well, that's just because I'm Irish. Right? That's no excuse, right? If I'm submitting to God, he said to be angry and sin not, but he said don't let the sun go down on your wrath. I need to submit to that in order to be in agreement with that. But watch this. This is really good. If I'll do that, he'll come. Woo! If I'll do what he wants me to do, he'll come. He's my answer. He's everything. He said, if I seek him, I'll find him. But not seek him on my terms, seek him on his terms. Hello? Right? Glory to God. Now watch. So Jesus went with him. And just get the picture. Get the picture. Jesus, you know, gets out of the boat. You know, multitude are following him. This guy comes, falls on his face. So everybody saw him. And then Jesus said, okay, I'll go. And then they're walking. So it's not just Jesus walking. It's not just Jairus walking. But this says a multitude. And most of the commentaries that I read, whenever a multitude, it says a crowd of like 5,000 or more. Think about that. All walking down the road. Where Jesus going? I'm going. I mean, even if it was 20, even if it was 100, even if it was a couple of hundred walking in a direction, that'd be crazy. But this says, again, so Jesus went with them and a great multitude, followed him and thronged him. What does it mean to throng? That means he's pressing in. Pressing in. Have you ever been pressed by a crowd before? I have a few times, but I'll just give you a couple of them. Years ago, before Christ, I went to a concert at the Kingdom. It happened to be Led Zeppelin. Right? And I was going, and they actually had cattle fences up that were really high, but they herded all of these people through these fences. Right? And everybody was excited to get in. So it was kind of like you bumping and this was kind of the funny ones, because somebody tried to climb the fence to get to the front of the line, and you saw them being passed from person to person overhead to go to the back of the line, right? But that was a throng of people. So Jesus is pressed in, and people are bumping onto him and just, you know, reacting that way. So verse 25 says this. It says, now a certain woman who had a flow of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things from many physicians and spent all that she had and was no better but grew worse. 12 years. Have you fought something for 12 years? Have you spent a lot of money fighting it? Have you taken this drug and taken that drug and done this and tried this particular thing? You saw a thing on Facebook, so I'm going to order that, and I'm going to do this. And for, you know, 12 years, doing everything that you can from a physical standpoint to try to beat the thing, and nothing. Nothing. In fact, she grew worse. That spells out desperation to me. But let's read that particular verse again. And she'd suffered many things from many physicians, spent all that she had, and she was no better, but rather grew worse. When she heard, somebody told her about Jesus. What did they tell them about Jesus? He's healing the sick. He's raising the dead. He's casting out devils. The lame are walking. The blind are seeing. He's feeding people with a couple of fish and a couple of loaves of bread. Here is the miracle worker. In desperation, she says, I have a chance. I have a chance. I have a chance. But watch this. She got into agreement with what she heard. Let me read it out here. Glory to God. I'm just so excited. For she said, when she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, if I only may touch his clothes, I will be made well. He's got the goods. I'm in desperation. I need to get to him. He's not coming to my house, but I'm going to get to him. My desperation is driving me to go to God for what I need, right? And I don't care what it takes. A throng. Remember, a throng was around him? That means people were pressing. And here comes this woman with an issue of blood for 12 years, meaning she was not very strong in her own strengths. But desperation pushed her beyond her ability to get what she wanted to get. In fact, she was risking her life by doing this. Because a woman with an issue of blood was considered unclean. And in that society, they, in the Jewish tradition, what they were supposed to do is they were supposed to walk on the other side of the street away from the throng and yell, unclean! Unclean! But in her desperation, right? In her desperation, she said, I don't care about all that. I need to get to Jesus, and I heard something about him. And if what I heard is true, and I believe it is, because if she didn't believe it was, she wouldn't have went through the effort to do what she did. She said, I'm agreeing with what I'm hearing. Right? But watch this. She didn't just hear. She didn't just agree. But she acted on what she heard. And she acted on what she believed. If I can only get to him, if I can only touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made well. So the Bible says, I love the King James, she pressed in the crowd. She pressed through the crowd to touch the hem of his garment. So what am I saying tonight? When we're renewing our mind to the Word of God, it's not enough just to mentally ascend to the Word. Oh yeah, bless God, I believe that's true. I believe that's true. I believe that's true. But are we desperate enough to press into God until it's a reality in our life? Right? Come on. Do you know the Bible says that in the book of Acts, he was talking to his disciples, said, you wait right here in Jerusalem until the Holy Spirit comes. But when the Holy Spirit comes, he's going to endue you with power to be witnesses unto me. What does that have to do with anything? A lot. Because some of us don't witness because that's not our calling. Some of us don't witness because we're afraid of what people are going to think. Some of us don't witness because, you know, we don't think anything is going to happen. But if we've heard that when the Holy Spirit came on the inside of us, that he endued us with supernatural ability to be a witness, that should change our thinking, right? And we can agree with that. Yes, bless God, I believe that. Oh, hallelujah. That's awesome. That's good. But until we do something about it. Just imagine this woman, if you will, for just a minute. Not only was it hard for her to do, she was risking everything to do it. Because she could have been stoned for doing this. They could have killed her for doing this. But she said, I don't care because I've heard. And when I touch him, honey, right? When I touch him, I'm going to get what I heard. Some of us aren't getting what we've heard because we haven't done anything to walk toward it. Right? Come on. Hallelujah. And renewing our mind is so important in that whole process. Let me read that again because there's something here that I think that you need to see. Verse 28, For she said, in faith and in agreeing with God, the first thing that you have to do is say what he says. We have to say what he says. So if he says, in this world you're going to have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I've overcome the world. Right? Then we have to go, listen, I might be going through something, but I'm not going through alone. And he's already overcome the world. Watch this. Now this is really important to grab a hold of. Everything that Jesus promised us in the covenant was sealed at the cross. In other words, it's already completed. The whole thing, he'll keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. It's not a qualified by what I do. It's qualified on what he did. Right? The chastisement of my peace was laid upon him. Right? Over and over again, right? Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, how can I be anxious for nothing when I just need to understand and agree with the fact that he's with me, he's for me, he'll answer my prayers. And if I put myself in that position, the peace of God will guard my heart and my mind through Christ Jesus. I think, you know, and I'm all for doctors, and I'm all for every bit of help that we can get, physically, mentally, emotionally, financially. I'm for all of that. But I think sometimes we substitute, because we're not desperate enough, man's cure versus God's cure. Right? And sometimes it's like, Lord, I'm coming to you, and I'm not stopping until I get it. I refuse to give up. I refuse to quit. But I'm going to get into agreement with you no matter what. Years ago, I was going through something, and I got a hold of a scripture. And man, it didn't feel like anything was happening. And things looked really bad, but I got a hold of a scripture and I just said it over and over and over again because I said, Lord, this is true for me because you said it's true and I'm going to be in agreement with you and I'm going to speak this out of my mouth. When out of my mouth, really I wanted to complain about everything that was going on. I would say, God, why me and all of those things. But I didn't allow myself to because I wanted to be in agreement with God. And then I began to act like it was true, and I pushed on like I knew that I knew that I knew that I knew that everything was going to be okay and the scripture that he gave me was going to be fulfilled in my life. Right? But while I was going through it, it didn't seem like it. And the enemy had thoughts coming at me all the time. Right? But I'm tired of the enemy. Watch this, like I said the other day. I'm tired of the enemy kicking my dog. Right? I'm tired of him coming into my house, into my head, and using my thoughts against me. And there's a time where you have to stand up to him. The Bible says, resist the devil and he'll flee with you, flee from you. Not with you, but from you. Big difference. But he'll flee from you. Watch this. But in order for that to happen, you've got to get into agreement with God. Do you really believe that God loves you? Do you really believe that when you made Jesus the Lord of your life, that he came into a relationship with you? Do you really believe that you have peace with God because of what happened on the cross? Right? Not only on the cross, but in the tomb. And not only in the tomb, but in the resurrection. Right? Come on. And so what we have to do is we have to constantly be in agreement with that and act on what that what has been said in his word concerning us. Glory to God. Glory to God. And then we have to make sure that our brains agree with what he said. And then walked on it. Look at this. Verse 29 says, immediately the fountain of her blood dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. And Jesus immediately, knowing in himself that power had gone out from him, turned around in the crowd and said, who touched my clothes? But his disciples said to him, you see the multitude thronging you and you say, who touched me? Come on, dude. Everybody's touching you. Come on, man. Get real, man. Everybody. What do you mean, who touched you? He looked around to see who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him, worshipped him, and told him the whole truth. Watch this. And he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction. Here's the point. We have to get to the place where we're in agreement with God, to the point that we'll act on it, even if it means we'll lose everything. Are you with me? But watch this, what Jesus said, and a lot of people don't get this right and can't figure this out. But he didn't say, daughter, man, I had some power coming out of me today, right? Daughter, you know, it's because I'm the Son of God. You know, this thing happened. Woo, glory to God. I got a ministry, now I can put that on my chart, right? No, what he said was, daughter, your faith. See, the faith started when she heard. But the faith continued when she said. But the faith was activated when she went. Right? And those things put her in the position to be touched by him. And Jesus said, watch, Jesus said, daughter, your faith has made you whole. His power, but her faith was the access to that power. See, What's that?
Yeah, exactly. And so what I'm saying is that we, in order to agree with God to the point where we're going to act on what God wants us to do, then we have to really be real with ourselves and say, do I really trust Him? Do I really trust God? You see, now watch this. And no condemnation, none of that, because I fight this all the time, right? But worry is an indicator that I'm not trusting. Anxiety is just an indicator that I really don't trust what He said. And that's not a horrible thing from the standpoint that it's a compass. So I say, oh, I'm walking in the wrong direction. North is that way, so I'm going to turn around and walk north. And how am I going to do that? I'm going to agree with His word, so I'm going to say what His word says. If I feel like I'm a reject and nobody loves me and I'm just the bottom, I got to go back to where it says, you know what He said? He said, I'm accepted in the beloved. That's what He said. I'm accepted in the beloved. When I made Jesus the Lord of my life, I'm accepted in the beloved. Now, that guy might reject me. That guy might reject me. That woman might say that I'm not all that. Right? What does she know? But watch this. Watch this. God said that He accepted me in His inner circle of love. So what do I need to do? I need to say it. I need to be in agreement with it. When I don't feel like it, when everybody's telling me something different, even when the religious folks are saying, don't go near Him because, you know, that's against the law. No, I don't care about that right now. I'm going to go to Him. And when the religious folks say, listen, you're the pastor. Don't go up and ask for prayer. Bless God. I mean, you know, what will other people think? And you know, that kind of thinking that goes, wait a minute. I'll tell you a story, and it just sickened me at the time. We were at a prayer meeting. This was years ago. And we had praise nights. And I had this friend of mine over and another pastor, another minister. And at those prayer meetings, we prayed for one another, right? And I didn't care who it was. If you think you got something for God for me, come on, lay hands on me and pray. I'll discern whether it's from God or not. But, you know, I want my faith to add to your faith, you know, just to be blessed. But I could just see it. The fellow came up to me and said, listen, I need to pray for you. And my friend, he went like this. Give it your best shot. But what his body language was saying is, I'm in the ministry. Who are you? Right? And so what's the point? The point is, if he was desperate and he thought the other person had something from God for him, he would put his position down. He wouldn't worry about any of that. I'm going to get in agreement with what God has for me, and whatever God asked me to do, that's what I'm going to do, because I'm going to touch Him and I'm going to be made whole, right? And again, I might have to be a while talking myself, renewing my mind into what God's picture of me is. But if I felt rejected all my life, I'm going to spend some time talking about how I'm loved by Him. Right? I come from, my mom was a worrier. Right? And other people in my family are worriers. And I used to say it this way, I come from a long line of worriers, right? But at some point, after I read, be anxious for nothing, the Amplified puts it this way, do not fret or have anxiety over anything. That's pretty tough, right? But if I'm going to walk in agreement with God, that has to be my marching orders. But how do I do that? I continue to agree with God, what God said, by saying what He said. Does that make sense? Let me just show you this and go to Romans chapter 10. You've already acted on this, and you already know that this is true. Again, how many in here know that you're saved? You know that you got a relationship with God based on the blood of Jesus. You know it, right? You know it. Well, look at Romans chapter 10. And let's look at verse 8. But what does it say? The word is near you. It's in your mouth. And it's in your heart. The word is near you. It's in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preached or we proclaimed. In other words, we came and told you about God. You absolutely believed what we had to say. So what we had to say and what you believed went into your heart, but it also went into your mouth. Has to be two. Can't be just one. It has to be two. It has to be in our heart and then in our mouth. Watch. This is so good. Again, you know these scriptures because we use them all the time. It says that if you confess with your mouth, if who confesses with their mouth? Who? Me. Yeah, me. You. Everybody. Anybody. Anybody, everybody, if they confess with their mouth and believe in your heart that God, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. In order for you to be right with God, to get saved, to receive everything that the cross produced, you have to believe it in your heart and then you have to say it with your mouth. In Ephesians, you know the verse, it says that you're saved by grace, right? You're saved by grace through faith. In other words, God gave the gift to you freely without anything that you did. It's not your righteousness, it's not what you did, but He put this plan before you, right? And He said, here it is. So what I need to do, and I did, I agreed with God. I agreed that I needed a Savior. I agreed that Jesus was the Savior. And I agreed in my heart that that was true. But I wasn't saved yet. Because there had to come to the place. For me, it was a prayer circle where the one who was leading it said, if anybody wants Jesus, step into the middle of the circle. I had to step into the middle of the circle. I had to bow my knee to the name of Jesus in the circle, and He said, repeat after me, right? And I repeated after Him, so I believed it in my heart, but the moment that I let it come out of my mouth from a place of conviction in my heart, it became my reality, right? And that's true with anything that we agree with God on. Sometimes we want it to come out of our mouth and can't figure out why it's not working, because we really haven't settled it in our heart yet. Right? How do I know? How do I know if it's settled in my heart so that it can come out of my mouth? You'll know when you're ready to act on it. I'll just tell you a story. The man, years ago, he was on his deathbed. You know, he's just a young teenage kid. And everybody said, you're going to die. That's it. Forget it. It's done. You know, preachers would come by and go, you know, boy, it'll all be over soon. You'll be with God and everything will be all right. I mean, but he read in Mark 11 that have faith in God. For I say unto you, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things he saith will come to pass, he'll surely have whatever he says. Therefore, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. And he had nobody told him anything about that, but he said, God, if this is true, if Jesus really said this and this applies to me, that I'm coming off of this bed. I'm coming off of this bed. Now watch. Here's the point. He believed that was true, right? But it took like a year or a year and a half after that before he actually got off the bed. Why? And he kept reading it over and over and over and saying it over and over and over again. Why? Why? Because there's a point where we have to get our unbelief out so that we can be fully in agreement with God. And all of us have years of unbelief conditioning. Right? We do. We have a picture painted in our head that is unbelief. We have to get that picture straightened out. So sometimes we go, well, that didn't work. Well, yeah, it actually did, because you got exactly what you really believe. And so what I'm saying is that our agreement with God can't be just mental. We have to get it down to where we know that 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 we know. You could come up here and, you know, be eloquent in your arguments and spend an hour and a half and prove to me by your words that I was not saved. And I tell you, you're wrong. Well, you know, you're going to hell because you didn't get baptized this way. You're going to hell because you didn't do that. You're going to hell because you're not part of our church. You're going to hell because... I'll say, well, I mean, I'll agree to disagree. Well, what are you basing that on? Because I know that I know that I went through this process right here. I believed in my heart and I said with my mouth that Jesus is Lord and that God raised him from the dead. And the moment that I did that, my eternity was sealed forever. Right? And it's like that with everything that we know. It's Lord. And sometimes like a great prayer is, Lord, like the man who came to Jesus and Jesus said, listen, they're saying all these things, but don't worry about all that. He said, only believe. All things are only believe, right? And he said, Lord, I believe, but help thou my unbelief, right? So it's like we go to the scriptures, and if we're dealing with fear, we get scriptures on fear, and we go to the Holy Spirit, who's really our teacher, and say, Lord, you know where my heart is, and I don't even know where my heart is, but you know where it is. But I'm going to continue to meditate or roll this over and over and over in my heart until I can say it with such conviction that I would stake my life on it. Does that make sense? Right? It's kind of like, Lord, I'm coming again. And you may have had somebody said, well, you know, just believe this and everything will be all right. I'm going to pray for you. And they send you on your way and you go a week later and nothing's happened. Why? Well, first of all, I don't know. I mean, I'm not the expert, right? I'm not the expert to say, well, this and this and this and this. But I do know that the thief comes to steal where our heart isn't completely ready. Right? And so what we need to do is say, Lord, just take that hoe, you know, get the rototiller out, and start working on it again, because I need this seed to produce. And I'm coming at you, and I'm not going to... Think about this. You're paralyzed. You're in a bed for, you know, 18 months, whatever it was. And your body doesn't feel anything different. Nothing feels different. And you're just, nope, Lord. Therefore, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. And one day the Holy Spirit said, and he was talking to the whole... The guy said, Lord, I believe that. Why has not anything happened? And he said, listen, the Holy Spirit said, do you believe that you're healed? Yes, I do. I believe that I received my healing when I prayed. I believe that. He said, well, a healed man shouldn't be in bed at 10 o'clock in the morning. Remember, his legs hadn't worked. His lower body hadn't worked. And so he's okay. And he pushed his legs over the side and they just fell down to the ground. He grabbed the post of the bed and he pulled himself up, very weak, hadn't been out of bed for over a year. But when he acted out of the conviction of his heart and agreement with God, right? If he would have done that a year before, he'd have just fallen on the floor. But he spent time in his agreement with God until his heart was fully convinced. And the result was he began to walk. And he was raised up from a deathbed when there was no hope. Now, I'm not the judge. I'm not saying, well, this guy's great because he's got a lot of faith and this guy doesn't have any faith. Listen, we just need to get back to the place where we're just saying, Lord, everything that you promised, everything that your word promised is for me. And none of it is based necessarily on my actions to attain it. But it's all dependent on my actions to believe it. In other words, I can't pray enough. I can't fast enough. I can't, beg enough. Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. I've got to quit. Oh, I feel like Carol Burnett when we just get started. Right? All right. Okay, real quick. For with the heart one believes, verse 10, into righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. If we could just get that. How many of us walk around with a cloud of shame over our head by past mistakes that are under the blood? Shame, I'm talking to you. You don't belong to me. You don't belong to me. There is no more shame because I'm under the blood. Glory to God. Okay. Watch this now. Verse 17. It says, then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You'll never develop your agreement with God without the word of God. Well, I go to church, man. I listen to the church. I even say, man, we put it every Sunday. We say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That's good. I'm not downplaying that. But that's not going to cut it. It's faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It's you hearing the word of God. And the way you hear the word of God is to be with the word of God. And the word was with God, right? And it dwelt among us as Jesus. So reading the word with the Holy Spirit and say, Holy Spirit, and be honest with him, I'm trying to walk free from anxiety. Help me with this. Because I believe that this is my covenantal right based on the blood of Jesus. But I'm going to continue to walk with you until I see it come into my life. Right? Come on. And one of the ways, and I believe this is important, that you believe you more than you believe anybody else. You believe the words that you speak over yourself more than anybody else. I'll just, again... If you believe that you're less than, that you're not as good as, and somebody else comes up and encourages you and tells you how, they think that you're awesome, or, that they really appreciate this, appreciate that about you, you will not believe it because you've convinced yourself of something else. Right? I could never be used by God because fill in the blanks. But when you get convinced that He said that when I receive the Holy Spirit, I'll be endued with power from on high. And at that point, I can do whatever He asks me to do because He's given me the power to do it. One more story. They'll forgive me out there, right? I was smitten with God when I got saved. I was in love with His Word when I got saved. I think you can go a while and kind of fall out of your smittenness, if you will, with the Word. And that's just a trick of the enemy. But I was smitten by the Word of God. And so I began to read. I was so excited about reading. Got through the Gospel of John. And I was in a situation where I was with a couple other guys, and we were witnessing to somebody, and this fellow had all these arguments about him. And I'd just been praying for boldness like the day before, but I'd read in the Word of God, said, don't worry about what you're going to speak. The Holy Spirit will give you the words, you know, I mean, all those kind of things. So I said, Lord, here's my mouth. I'm opening it up. You fill it. But you know, when I started to speak, and I had all kinds of doubts going into it, but when I started to speak, there was a boldness that I'd been praying for that rose up inside of me. And I was able to speak into this man to arrest his arguments enough for him to hear the gospel. Not me, but me believing. But because I believed it, I opened my mouth. We need to agree with God. Did you get something tonight? Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for tonight, Lord. I thank You for Your Word. I thank You, God, that You're here. I thank You that You're doing powerful things. And Lord, I thank that every one of us that were listening online or here in the room, we're here tonight because You want us to agree with You. And so we do in Jesus' name. We agree, Father, that if we confess You, that we'll be saved. We agree tonight that saved means that we're healed and that we're whole and that we're delivered. Saved means that You'll supply all of our needs according to Your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Saved means that You'll tell us what to do and how to do it and how to face our future. Saved means the steps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord. So never again will I say that I don't know what to do, because if I seek You, I know what to do because You lead me and guide me. I thank You for those that are watching online, Lord, that You're speaking into them even right now in Jesus' name. And Satan, I bind your powers. Spirit of infirmity, I command you to get your hands off of those people. And I thank You, Lord, for Your healing power to go into them first spiritually and then mentally and then physically, emotionally, and financially. Lord, make them whole in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Thanks for joining. God bless you. Amen.